Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. For months this calendar year, I've been enjoying reading through the epistles. They are phenomenal. They're God's Word, right? The living Word of God. But these epistles have these explosive exhortations to the people of Jesus Christ. They're not just great truths, theoretical, heady stuff. We'll just contemplate these things together. You with me? They have plenty of that. They're heady. They're awesome. They're like nothing else that's ever been written, which all the 66 books of the Bible are. But Paul and other writers, in writing these epistles, he gives truth, but then he talks about living it. If I tried to convince you that I loved golf, and I read about it or I think about it, and then somebody said, well, when's the last time you played golf, Philip? Oh, that's years ago. I wouldn't convince you very much, would I? If I love golf and never put it in action. Well, these letters and these epistles speak to us in how to live. Here in this focus today, brethren, Paul is going to exhort Christians to do good to all men. The Word of God. Let me read verses 9 and 10, Galatians 6, and then I'll pray. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then our focus for today. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. May God bless His Word. Let me pray. Father, this is Your Word. This is living and active and speaking in this room to all of us, to every Christian that reads it today. This is Your truth. This is what You have for us. And we want to receive it. We want to be taught of the Holy Spirit. We want to have life in living this truth and these truths. Thank You for them. Speak to Your people. For the glory of Jesus we ask. Amen. Doing good to others. No problem, right? Easy stuff, as one of my little grandsons says. Easy peasy. Maybe not. Doing good to others. Paul's exhortation here, brothers and sisters, is so clear and so comprehensive and so convicting. Nobody's going to be able to sneak out. Let's go ahead and lock that door and lock this door. We're all in. You're going to have to stay. It's right down to where we live. Consider the day of the Galatian Christians. They lived in a region of Asia Minor, a worldly pagan culture. False gospels, other gospels everywhere. Judaism mixed in, false gospels, in opposition to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Opposition. So you had a worldly culture, false gospels, in opposition to the pure gospel. Plainly stated, brothers and sisters, a society in darkness and heresy. Sound familiar? Does that sound like 2023 here? America, other places throughout the world? Yes, it does. Very much like our day. And yet, to those Galatian Christians and to us Christians today right here, God says to His people, do good unto all men. It's just phenomenal, isn't it? How sweeping. You don't have to get overcomplicated with the structure of the sentence. I think it's clear. This whole statement, doing good unto all men. Wow. In spite of the evil of our day, yes, Talking to me? Yes. Is this talking to you if you're a Christian? Yes. This is an exhortation to every Christian in every century, in every part of the world, since it was given, doing good. The Galatian Christians and the Plano and Dallas and Denton Christians. When do we do good? As you have opportunity. How? With grace and wisdom, with reality. Why? For the name and the glory of Jesus Christ. That's why we're giving these exhortations. So if this reality or this theme is making you uncomfortable, then welcome to welcome to the reality of God's Word searching us, teaching us, speaking to us. We need it. I need it. But if it's making you stop, kind of freeze in your tracks, listen today with an open heart of what the Holy Spirit will give you. How do you, right in the place that you're at, right now in life, how can you be about doing good to all men and especially God's people? Brothers and sisters, this is going to be true for you the rest of your days. This is not just for a few. This letter, these exhortations are to all the Christians. This isn't separated out. Make sure you tell the elders in that city they are to be doing good. Especially those of the household of faith. Yeah, it's speaking to them, but it's speaking to everyone. It's to all of us. He speaks to his people. So Paul's exhortation here in Galatians 6 deals with two categories, right? There's two groups of people that God is speaking to, that God's servant, the Apostle Paul, is speaking to. Non-Christians and Christians. And we're given an exhortation on all of them. First, non-Christians. In my translation, I'm reading out of the King James, but they're going to be close in your translations, whatever you're in. Paul begins here. He's been speaking, right? He's winding down his letter. He starts giving exhortations in different ways. And so here, he gives an exhortation as, therefore, you have opportunity, do good unto all men. That's the starting point. Now, it's notable right before this, right? In verse 9, Paul has said, let us not grow weary. Don't get worn out or if you want to say, down, discouraged in doing good. In fact, Paul uses that, don't become weary. Don't let your arms hang down. Don't become dull, if you will, but continue doing good. And then he gives this sweeping exhortation. It's almost like a runner. They're getting tired. Somebody, the coach or the one that's helping him, says, not only don't grow weary, increase your running. Keep going. That's what he's saying here. Not to be weary in well-doing, but now continue on in doing good. It's a strong, strong exhortation. First, let's consider the word good. Doing good. I mean, sometimes we get words like this really off-center in our day, right? We think about, people use the word good in our society. In reality, they're not using it in a biblical sense. So we have these glorious words, not to mention the word love, right? The word love, which is incredible, the depth of the word love and its different meanings. And in our society, it's distorted. It's perverted how people use it. Here, it's this word doing good. The Greek word is agathos, which means for the benefit of another. Doing good. In the context here and how Paul is using it, he's speaking of doing good, that you would benefit another person. Everybody with me? We want to make sure we understand what Paul's saying here. So it's action on your part for the betterment of somebody else. So it could be really infinite situations. There may be all kinds of things that come to your mind today. Maybe during lunch you can share on this. Just open up. Just share with each other. Husband and wife later today. Families. Rehearse some of these things. Think of these things. What would it mean to be doing good to all men? Because that's what Paul's talking about. It's you in action. You being active in your sphere of life. so we're not talking about just you sending in money somewhere. That can be a form of doing good, but Paul's talking about action on your behalf, action on your behalf, action on the lives of Christians impacting and touching others. That's what he's talking about here. It's not about sending money to not-for-profits. The Christians are in the trenches, as they say. They're actually involved around other people. Last Sunday when I was leaving, 105, whatever it was, out there in that parking lot on the west side of UNT, and one of the brothers in our church was changing a tire for two college students, two women, young women, that had a flat tire. I don't know if you saw that or not. He's out there at 105 degrees changing a tire for two students. As you have opportunity, let us do good to all men. It's exactly what popped into my mind when I saw that happening across the parking lot. So it's about you putting in the effort, touching people's lives, brother, sister, young person, older person, whoever, wherever you are. Something that you're about. And God brings opportunity. It's not you planning it necessarily. You can and you should plan certain areas of good deeds, things that you can do for others, but as you have opportunity, God will bring them to you. So this is a living, walking reality in the Christian life that God's going to bring these to us. Paul would have had these, Luke, and the different men of the faith and the sisters of the faith in this early days in Galatia and other places where they were living and doing great works for the glory of Jesus Christ. So Paul says he gives us opportunities. He presents situations. Things come about. That's the flow of the language here. I'm just wanting us to consider this. In God's providence, he will present them to you. If I stopped right now and I said, I'm going to turn this off, you guys turn the recording off, let's just go around the room. What opportunities has God brought in the month of August to you for doing good? I want us to think on this. And let it expand you, stretch you, make you uncomfortable, quicken things in you that you need to give yourself to. So God in his providence will present things to you and you can seize the moment. Everybody know what that phrase means? Right there, it's in front of you. There's opportunity to do good to others. You're probably thinking, there's going to be limitations here, Philip. Yeah, there are. In a way, limitations. And we're not trying to get into too much detail. But there are times it's just so clear the Holy Spirit's just ordered this event, whoever you're with or around or something comes up and you leave a grocery store or you meet somebody. And you have this moment, this chance, this opportunity. Now I want us to consider, brothers and sisters, you doing good to others is irregardless of race and nationality and gender and social status and religious background and age or even social barriers. You hearing me? We can't categorize things. We create barriers. It's just normal in people groups. We create barriers. God help us not to have barriers. Are y'all with me on this? Barriers. It's just, we do it to ourselves. We do it in the societies we live in. We do it in the customs of our day. We have to just get some of that stuff and just blow down the walls, because we don't need barriers if we're going to be able to truly do good to others. Social barriers. Everybody know what I'm talking about here? Social barriers. You're probably thinking of some right now. Barriers that in real ways you either don't want to cross them, or the society around you would say you can't cross those to do good to others. Yes, we can. Think of our glorious Savior. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did he have social barriers? Yeah, it's just worth laughing. Did Jesus Christ have social barriers? In the ultimate sense, no, none. He came to rescue mankind, came to rescue sinners, young, old, all kinds of people groups, ethnicities, income levels, political levels, people that were on the street, outcasts. The Lord Jesus Christ, he ministered to all of them. I could stop right there and you get the point. You talk about the heart of God for people, The Lord Jesus Christ lived it and portrayed it for us and for the world to behold. He did not have social barriers. I'm trying to get it back to us. If Jesus Christ lived by example a life given to all men, then that's what we need to learn from. William Hendrickson says this, Jesus' love overleaped boundaries. I venture to say in this room today, we got a lot of boundaries we need to leap over by the grace of the Holy Spirit. He will show us and He will guide us. Listen to this verse from Acts 10. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing what? Doing good. And healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus Christ went about doing good. And who is he doing good for? All types of people. All types of humanity. So if today, if I was in Australia, or if I was in Japan, or if I'm in South America, or if I'm in Canada, this preaches in the Christian faith to all groups. There is no barrier. That's what I'm trying to emphasize here. That's why when Paul says this, in their day, barriers would have been there, yes, but it shouldn't be in our minds. It shouldn't limit us. It shouldn't hold us back. The Lord Jesus being the perfect, perfect example. Brethren, consider Christ Jesus in His not having social barriers and doing good. He interacted with and had compassion on lepers. How many of you are old enough to remember the AIDS epidemic in the early 80s? Not a whole lot in this room. The AIDS epidemic in this country and in the world, which really kind of came into society being aware of it in the early 80s. I remember reading a Time magazine article, 82, 83 or something like that, in this AIDS epidemic. It was a big deal. You children, you young people have no idea. And it created a group of people that had the HIV virus or were considered in the AIDS group, that they were over there. And you will read stories about Christians in that day that went and ministered to people, primarily in that day, men who were dying. They would go and minister to them the gospel because they didn't see it as a social barrier. The Lord Jesus Christ had compassion and interacted with lepers. They were the outcasts of His day, clearly. Nobody was to get near a leper. It is convicting to read of missionaries and people through the centuries who have gone in and exposed themselves to certain diseases and things that could kill them for the name of Jesus Christ. It will make you weep. It will be very convicting. It's no big deal to go to Deep Ellum and preach or speak about Jesus Christ relative to lepers. I'm being honest with you. Does anybody hang out at Deep Ellum? And I'm not trying to take a cheap shot. I'm just implying there are certain pockets and areas of society. Five Street in UNT years ago was known across this country as a drug point in Texas. I was a teenager growing up, and Fry Street, right on the edge of campus at UNT, was known as a place that's dark. And there was gospel outreach that occurred there. Don't they need the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, dear ones, this thing of doing good means we've got to move across barriers. Jesus did it with lepers. He showed tenderness with disabled people. People who had real physical ailments, problems, needs, blind, those who couldn't walk, deaf, people that were, nobody could help them. They were rejected by others. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to them and had mercy on them. Blind Bartimaeus, crying out. Basically, the disciples and others said, why don't you quieten those guys down? Jesus doesn't have time for you. Watch this. Not only does He have time for them, He healed them. He touched lepers. Anybody uncomfortable? Isn't this phenomenal? This really, ultimately, this sermon is about the magnificence, the glory of Jesus Christ to all men. He is our example. He showed tenderness, willingness, Here's another barrier that might come to our mind. He delivered people that were demonized. Now this gets into a realm that's big. I'm not trying to create something here that Phil and others are going to have to unravel later. People that are under demonic oppression or possession. The Lord Jesus Christ had all power, right? When he would come on the scene and the demons would know that he was there, they immediately trembled. They knew he was the King of Glory. He was the Messiah. And he had compassion on people that were demonized. He ministered. He delivered them. Think of that. You'll meet people at times and you think, they are really in a bad way. They're not in their right mind. They would take the people demonized in the days of the Lord Jesus and they would put them outside the city oftentimes, right? Nobody could deal with it. But God's people through the centuries have been used and are still used today. Forget the bizarre, stupid movie stuff that's being presented. The reality of a Christian, men of God, women of God, through the ages, Paul Washer in his day and others who dealt with demonized people and the power of the Holy Spirit, let them go in and help people like that. I'm just trying to emphasize, beloved, there's not barriers. There really is not in the kingdom of our dear Savior. Jesus Christ accepted tax collectors and prostitutes. I didn't say that he endorsed their activity. He accepted them. He had relationship to go see them, go be with them, go rescue them, bring them the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his glory and holiness. People despise tax collectors. Has anybody invited a major IRS representative in here lately? Dark, crooked people. I'm not taking a shot at any particular person I know, but there's corruption in all areas of society. Yes, and in the IRS. Somebody's probably going to snag this on YouTube. Yes, there's corruption. Perfect candidates for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bankers, financial men, corporate men, executive men, women doing their spin and their spin in their games. And we can do good to them in the gospel. Jesus Christ had mercy on tax collectors and on prostitutes. There has to be real wisdom. There has to be carefulness here. You see, when God gives us this sweeping exhortation to do good unto all men, it's phenomenal, the reality of it. And Jesus Christ talked and interacted with Gentiles, the non-Jewish world. And he talked with them and he went to them and he preached truth. The kingdom of God is at hand. He went to see the woman at the well, right? He had to go there. He was appointed to go there. The Jews had no dealing with them, the Samaritans. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to rescue her and others. You hearing me? What a Savior. What a King of Glory. What an example for us. I have all kinds of barriers around me that I need to get rid of. I'm not talking like I've achieved all this, brothers and sisters. You've got barriers around you that you need to just ask the Holy Spirit to remove from your heart and your thinking. God will bring all kinds of people across your path. And you need to be ready as you have opportunity. Remember what Jesus said about our enemies. Love your enemies and do good to them. Do you have enemies? Yeah, you do. You do. I even think back of college days where it was pretty evident early on. I'm coming from a Christian position and my college professor would know it, and at that point you could feel tension pretty much the rest of the semester. I didn't go to a Christian school. That was not my area of study. But you feel it. You feel it in neighborhoods and cities when you're out sometimes. You feel hostility. You feel enemies. And Jesus Christ, our great example, said, love our enemies and do good. So Paul's exhortation, brothers and sisters, is for you and I to be doing good to other men in the flow of your life as you have opportunity. What about this thing of as you have opportunity? How many in this room are under 25 years old? I'm making you raise your hand a lot today. Sorry, Phil. I normally don't do this at our church. Okay, how many of you are over 50? Okay. Trust me, I definitely am. Different seasons of life. If I said, you guys, let's go in another room. Let's just visit for a little while. Anywhere from 13, 14, up to 24, 25, whatever. And I said, let's talk. If you're a Christian, what does this mean at this chapter of your life? As I like to say, what does this mean for Steph Curry if he claims he's a Christian? What does Steph Curry do for the glory of Jesus Christ? How does he do good unto others? Fair question. Or a baseball player or a teacher at one of the colleges locally. How would they do good to others in the name of Jesus Christ? He's the preeminent one, is he not? He's the one we serve. We're not our own anymore. So how do we see opportunities? Me in my early 20s versus being 62 today is very different. The spheres of society, where I am, who I'm around is different. But the call or the exhortation hasn't changed. Not a bit. As you have opportunity. It's in the season of life that you're in. If you're a single, be doing good to other men, other people. If you're a young couple, you'll have opportunities. As a young couple, you can do certain things in the opportunity, in the sphere of your life for the glory of Christ and for the good of other men and women, because it's in the season of your life. One of the young couples in our church, relatively speaking, young couples, they've moved into one of the toughest areas on campus, in campus housing at UNT. It's called Cement City. And it is just an absolute melting pot of people from all over the world, particularly India. And so it's like a harvest field right there on that quadrant of the campus. They're a young couple. They don't have children at this point. And so they can do things and give themselves in ways for the good of others and for the souls of others, because that's the chapter they're in right now. You following me? Paul says, whatever opportunities, meaning you will have those. Don't wait. Well, one day I have to be at this position to do this. It's today. Who knows what the rest of today holds? You may be changing a flat tire for somebody today for the glory of Jesus Christ. Be ready. Who knows what's ahead for you and I, Nathan? We may be changing a tire before we get out of Dallas or Plano. So in the season of life that you're in, I'll just quickly tell this story. In our early years of marriage, we didn't have any real money. The Lord just took care of us. We married young, 19 and 17, had children young, we're going through college, and I'm telling you, $10 or $20 was a pretty good chunk of money to have sitting around. Krista could plan our grocery budget, just, man, off of nothing. That's for another day. The Lord was so good to us. But we would have yard sales and stuff like that to raise money, pick up another $60 on a Saturday. And in 1983 or 85 or something, $60 would go a long way. It's pretty good to have that. So her dad did wholesaling, and so we had some ceiling fans, brand new in boxes. And he'd give them to us for nothing. And then we could sell them and maybe make $5 a ceiling fan. You follow me? Y'all with me? Trying to be creative, trying to be prudent. And so she sold one to a lady in the Denton community one Saturday, and then somehow committed for us to install it. This is where the plot thickens a little bit. I didn't know installation was a part of the deal. No extra cost, by the way. Krista tells me, the lady I sold it to is so excited, but I also committed you to hang the ceiling fan. You with me, Corey? I'm telling you. All right, so now, at this point, my notes start really getting lively. I'm feeling it. I'm in my late 20s, whatever I was then. And so I planned it, and so I went, and it wasn't March, cool air, and it wasn't October, it was in the summer. And it was one of these small frame houses where it's a really flat roof and the crawl space up there is about this much. It felt like it was about this big. So I'd been taught by my brother how to do a ceiling fan, you get in the attic, got to put brackets and all. Anyway, I'll move it along here. But I went over there, and she was so excited. It was one of her little boy's bedroom. And this family didn't have a lot of means. So it was me going, if you want to say this, past a social barrier, moving into an environment or into a community that I needed to just be myself. I needed to love them, be sincere with them. And I had by myself the joy of sweating through everything I had on, crawling in that attic and hanging a ceiling fan and looking at them get excited. She was so excited to have that fan for her little boy in that bedroom. You really don't know what's coming your way. But we serve a glorious Savior. And He's bringing us opportunities. And that's why I'm saying don't limit the sphere of your life right now. I didn't have a lot of money to do things for her. But God had something bigger in that moment. Doing good to those out of your resources and your abilities. I said the season of life you're in. Doing good to others out of your resources and abilities. You have benefits or things in your life, things that God's done in you, your skills, your knowledge, your creativity. You just have you, how God makes you. Your experience or other things that you could do. You have other time. You have blocks of time that you can minister to other people. So I'm saying one size doesn't fit all. If I said the first two or three rows here, what are things in your life that you can do more about doing good? You follow me here. The flow of your life. Step back. Really step back after today and go, I've had a whole new paradigm shift here. I don't just have to let a few others do this. I'm going to go to the grocery store, or I'm going to go to Home Depot this week. One of you sisters or brothers, what would God have you to do good to others for His name's sake? It's just so real, so precious. So God will enable you. He gives you skills and He gives you giftings. Be discerning. I'm still talking about unbelievers. Let us do good. Unbelievers. Be discerning. You need the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and insight. Be careful in a sense, because otherwise there's a lot of things going on out there that you might, in zeal, jump into. Be careful. I've spent most of my time just trying to get us out of our comfort zone. Take the social berries and get rid of them. But there has to be some caution. You young ladies don't need to go into Deep Ellum by yourself. Okay? You don't. And when the men used to go to Fry Street, when I used to go, we didn't just go solo. We took two or three or four of us. There's a lot of dark things going on down there. We've got to be careful. We have to be mindful. In this realm of crossing barriers into other neighborhoods and other districts, we have to be smart. You ought to talk about it. You ought to talk with your pastors. You ought to talk with brethren. But you ought to have the heart ready to, and yet wisdom guides you in it. And there, I could say much more on that, but I'm just trying to be real. I've raised six children. I've had daughters. I don't want them out at 2 in the morning evangelizing. You with me? So we have to have wisdom and discretion. What I can do by myself or with another brother is different than what two 18 or 19-year-old young ladies can do. Just be realistic and let God open new doors for you. Second group, I've spent a lot of time doing good unto all men. The second group, Christians. Paul's exhortation, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And then he gives this magnificent statement, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, particularly, absolutely, without question, to those who are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I just wanted to stretch us in total and then come to this theme and see it's not just a few. The few that are God's people are precious and especially to be ministered to. But I want us to see Paul saying, think about all people and especially your brothers and sisters. Doing good to fellow Christians. This is one of the most powerful testimonies in the world for the last 20 centuries, is Christians' love and care for each other. There have been no telling how many people brought into the kingdom convicted of their sin and that they need a new heart by simply watching what Christians do for each other. If I can put it in simple words, it blows the world away. The United Way and all those organizations have to stand back and cover their mouth and say, Nobody, men can plan that. That has to be divine. You read the book of Acts and then ask the Rotary Club or the Lions Club or some other group, do y'all live like that, like Acts chapter 2? And they would say, we can't. We can't organize it that way. Exactly. It has to be from the heart. The love that you have for God's people, the cherishing of those people, laying down your lives. Have you read any of the martyr stories lately when a brother or sister, and what they say to each other at the very end? It's incredible. You talk about committed to each other to the end. It's just amazing. I would stay up at night years ago reading Fair Sunshine about the Scottish martyrs, Scottish Covenanters. Anybody read that book? Probably a few of you have maybe heard about it. It's called Fair Sunshine. And it's recounting those different men of the faith and how they suffered or how they stood for Christ and then what persecution they went through. And Krista would not want me to read it to her because it was kind of overwhelming. Well, typical of being a man, I'm reading it at 9:30 or 10 at night, the next chapter before I go to sleep. Some people would say, that's really not a great way to go to sleep. For me, it was glorious. They lived and died to the glory of God. But it was teaching me deeper things, right? Obviously, but I was seeing the brother-to-brother relationship, husband to wife, John Brown. Find the book, read the chapter on John Brown, I believe it is, and what his wife said about him after they took his life. She was there. You hear what I'm saying? Doing good, this precious bond with God's people, especially to those who are a household of faith. Take a pen, underline that little, especially, particularly. Yes, there's special care and concern for our brothers and sisters in Christ, near and far. Special focus and attention and commitment to God's people that you have. Brother Mac has been an example to me in this area for over 3 decades. You talk about big-hearted and ready to help people. Mac and Linda have been kind of a living volume on this to me and my dear wife, watching them. Special care and concern. You're obligated to do good to all men, yes, but you're abundantly so obligated to do it to other believers. They're to be in your sight, to be in your focus, to be on your list, to be in your heart. They are your spiritual family. Men out there, they're in our society, and we're to have a gospel heart for them. But people that are in your family, you are to care for. I mean, when I take care of my grandchildren and my kids leave them with us, I have special care. I can't be focused on other things. They give me their little ones or my wife and I to watch for. That's a high assignment. Well, in a sense, that's what we're talking about here. We have each other. You have each other. Nathan and I have each other. We're to especially be concerned for each other's good. I'm assuming that you're probably on overload right now. Trust me, I've spent weeks and months. This is not the only epistle with an exhortation I have slowed down and been focused on. I have spent months being blown away at these exhortations to us as Christians. Your spiritual family. A man can do good things for his neighbors in his neighborhood. He should have a heart to know about people in his neighborhood, if there's needs, or if there's a widow, or if there's some special need. A man in his neighborhood should be aware of that, but he's particularly aware of what his wife and children need, right? That's his family. Those are the ones for him to care for, to lay his life down for, and that's the picture. Abundantly so with God's church, his people. And the New Testament has so many examples for you and I of Christians going, just giving their lives for each other. We forget about Luke, the physician. He wrote 20-25% of the words written in the New Testament. Process that for a minute. In terms of just, the Holy Spirit was with Luke. And what was Luke, what is one of the biggest things Luke was doing week in and week out, month in, month out? He was caring for God's people. The Apostle Paul, no telling what in heaven Paul will tell us about Luke's ministry to him. While he was a house prisoner, Luke could come and minister to his physical needs or other things. He could travel. He could go around. He could check on brethren. He could help. We could be better at being Luke's, couldn't we? Caring for God's people. One of my little grandsons is named Luke, and I'm so grateful. I want him to be a Luke by the power of God. May God do it. New Testament examples. The charity or the love of Christians to one another should be extensive charity, says Matthew Henry. One does well to read Matthew Henry often. Just his devotional thoughts. The charity of Christians to one another should be extensive, abundant charity. Let me elaborate on this for just a few minutes. Be proactive. Intentional. Be proactive. There are plenty of needs at Grace Life right now that could be ministered to. Plenty. Y'all know that. You probably feel stretched at times. You brothers, you sisters, you see needs. We continue. I said to Phil, the little bit of time I had with you, I look up the next Sunday and there's 14 new people there. Where'd they come from? Who let them in? I don't mean that literally. There's a lot of visitors, aren't there, Nathan? It's hard to keep. And so there are needs. There's constantly needs. Be proactive. You can't minister to all the needs. That's why it's a living people, right? It's a body giving and receiving and sharing and ministering. You're not going to do everything for everybody, but be you to your brother and sister. Be you. Be proactive. Think about the needs. Hear about needs. How can I help? Be observant. Do y'all publish a prayer list? You do? Where, you know, the different prayer meetings or however you do that. I've challenged others at times. Be observant and see what prayer needs there are. And as you look and as you're thinking about those needs, where could you help? How would God use you? How could you step in? How could you provide an encouragement or help in a tangible way? You are there as a brother and a sister to be used of the Holy Spirit. And you can do it in the flow of your life. Third, be creative. Be proactive, be observant, be creative. Meaning, think of ways, practical ways, of ministering within the body that hadn't even been structured or hadn't been formulated. We don't need programs. We just need to walk in the Holy Spirit. I don't see the word program in the book of Acts. I don't see that. I don't see empire or programs or cool or trendy. Whether it's in the Greek language or it's the English language. I don't see that kind of language in the New Testament. I see the moving of the Holy Spirit moving in God's people, blowing you away, blowing me away. Be creative. You have skills and you have opportunities. You sisters, you ladies can do things and minister to each other and others that is incredibly powerful. You brothers, and some of your skills and your knowledge and just who you are, helping others. The writer of Hebrews said this, do not neglect doing good and sharing. Anybody remember the second part? For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. How does God see it? Don't neglect doing good and sharing. He's talking about within the household of faith, God's people. For with such sacrifices or such labors, such giving of your life, God is pleased. Wow. What a statement. You want to please God? Minister to His people. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Take care of my people. Think of that. Peter, do you love me? Tend to my people. So how does this doing good, brother to brother, sister to sister, family to family, how does Grace Life do this? What does this look like here? You're a gathered people. You're a called out assembly, just like Denton or other places. You're a gathered people, but you're connected with all Christians, but you're uniquely connected here, right? And therefore, what does this look like? What is doing good, especially to those that are the household of faith? What does that look like? You got a big marker board? I kid. I love putting things visual. I love drawing it, outlining it, showing it, so you can see it, talk about it. But this is where maybe I'll end. What does it mean with you guys, with you brothers, you sisters, you families, you young people that have a heart for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. What does this mean? Think about the early church. You read just one snippet, Acts 2. We all remember it, and they continued steadfastly, right? In the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. That famous verse, Acts 2:42. And fear came upon every soul. Let me read to you verses 44 and 45 again. Acts 2. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and they parted them to all men as every man had need. That's a wow. That's a wow. That's awesome. And then it says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. But we might miss those two verses in there. Doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers, living out this gospel life. But what was happening on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday? A lot was happening. And it wasn't planned. I'm not against planning. I'm probably by nature a planner, I like to think. But I'm talking about let the Holy Spirit make His people alive with each other, with your fellow man out there, and with each other in a true, holy, tender, loving way. What does that look like? Providing meals. Giving rides to another one. Doing yard work. Anybody been able to have the blessing of mowing somebody else's yard this summer when it was still growing? House painting, outside or in. Financial support. See, we, so far, I'm not even trying to dwell on doing good as about just money. It could be one piece of a big tapestry. It's not the only thing. Yes, if you have means, 1 Timothy 6, and those who have means, being able to be ready to distribute, ready to help. Taking somebody to the doctor visit. Rides to the airport. House sitting. It seems like we always have somebody house sitting in our church. It's not in our creed. It's not in our statement of faith, but it just happens. It's quite a wonderful thing. We have Daniel takes care of our animals when we're gone. Daniel's an awesome brother to love and minister to different needs like that. House repairs. Doing good, especially to those that are a household of faith. Offering child care. I'm sure that happens a lot. Child care, helping each other, doing laundry for each other. What comes to your mind when I say that? Man, how practical, how real. Oh, various types of hospitality, cutting firewood. You younger guys, you younger men, you ought to say, I've got some projects this fall I'm going to do for the brethren. I'm going to use my strength. The glory of a young man is what? His strength. Put it in motion for the glory of God and for the good of God's people. Car repairs, I've already said that. House cleaning, running errands. Running errands for somebody. Brother or sister is sick. They've been on their, been in a season where they're down. They can't be as active. Moms, they've had children. After the babies come and there's so much that there's need, especially when the house is full of kids. You already do this, I'm sure. I'm just trying to stir up love and good deeds. Buying groceries. Computer support. Yes. Since I am the weakest, lousiest computer man in North Texas. 8.5 million people, and I'm the lowest guy on the list. Thank you, brothers, sisters, my dear wife, for helping me with technology. Loaning a car. This is just beautiful. Beautiful. We used to have an old VW bus, 78 Type 2 VW bus. No air conditioning. We had those kids and Chris with her long hair, and we'd drive that bus around. That wind's blowing through that thing. You can picture it, right? It's funny. And some of the brethren wanted to borrow that thing to drive it to the Bentley camps. They go flying off in our VW bus. I think they just thought it was trendy. It was fun. Loaning a car. There's constantly cars and things that brethren are sharing. I used to say to Chris, I think I'm just going to buy what I call a rover car, right? And it's just going to always be there for brethren to use. Think about it. I'm just saying, be creative. brothers, sisters, let the Holy Spirit make you Acts 2 kind of Christians. Helping somebody pack. Man, that's right down. That's down in the trenches. Helping them move. Medical supplies and on and on and on. I'm just trying to activate your thinking, your hearts. I'm trying to activate my own. I need more of this. Beloved, God is so good and so clear to us that His people are called to be doing good to all men and especially our fellow Christians. Let this come like fresh wind, like this a bit of cooler air coming in, and we're going to get into September and God brings that fresh cool air. Let it come in this your hearts and lives. Let this stir you. You young people, you young guys, you young women, let this grip you. Your life is not yours to just run out on your own. Give yourself. Be ready to do good for others. God help us. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for it's such clear, right where we live, exhortations that the Christians from Paul's day in every century can and should be about doing good to our fellow man and especially the brethren. Help us, Lord. Help this flock. Help them all today, Lord, to be moved along. Take us, Lord, for your glory, for the glory of our Savior, we ask. Amen.